scripture. I'm sure we all know it, and we all can probably preach this together. And we're going to parade and peruse the periphery of about 10 verses. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to start at verse 23, and we'll end at verse 33. Amen. When you have that, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse number 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. Let's go to verse 33, lastly. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Amen. May God have the blessings to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. The word endures forever. I want to give a simple topic, not trying to be fancy or anything, but just trying to give you what I believe God has given me to give you. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag on this morning, on this particular text, the power of worship. The power of worship. Amen. We have to understand that worship brings a power with it. Amen. Amen. If you were doing the worship service, you can tell that it brought power to turn your sorrow into joy. Amen. Amen. So the book of Acts, it is a letter, the second letter that the physician and friend of Paul, Luke, wrote. He wrote the first letter it's called the Gospel according to St. Luke. He wrote that same letter to Theophilus. And now he's writing a second letter to tell him that how the work is going to continue. And the work is continuing. And he writes this letter to him to let him know the things that have taken place since Jesus had come, hung, bled, died, but resurrected. And his disciples went on to spread the good news throughout the earth. And he wanted him to know what was going on. And so in this, we find that now Paul is in a place called Philippi. He's in where he had a church called the Philippian church that he wrote a letter to that we've been studying in Bible study, and we wrapped it up on this past week. But he wrote to them because, and he was there because he had a heart for them. He wanted them to understand the things of God. He wanted them to grow in the things of God. And they happened to be a church that was unified. They happened to be a church that did not mind helping with the work of the ministry, that were able to help Paul in his missions and gave to him to make sure that he had all he needed. Not just when he was free and with them, but even while he was in prison, they made sure that Paul had him an assistant and he had every necessity, every need that he had for his body, they were filled. Amen. And Paul said to them that my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Because you've given to me, God will open up an account for you and fill it up. Amen. It's basically what he said. And so here it is. He's in Philippi, and we find out that he comes up to this this slave girl. They call her a slave girl, but she's more of a. And so this woman had, she was the lead, pretty much the lead psychic, I could say. She was the lead psychic among many, and the owners of them, they had a network. They had the psychic network. It didn't just start with Miss Cleo, but it didn't just start with Dionne Warwick. Y'all remember the psychic network Dionne Warwick had? It didn't just start with her, but these people had a psychic network, and she was the lead of it all, and they got a lot of money off of them, off of the people who believed that her psychic predictions would come to pass. I mean, she told them how to go get their lucky rabbit's foot. She told them how to, you know, how to find stuff that they had lost in their house, you know, that kind of stuff. And so here it was. She was following Paul and Silas around, and she was saying stuff about them. Now, I wondered why. I said, well, Paul got annoyed and he got angered at the fact that she was following them around and she was saying that these are the men of God that's going to show a way to salvation. Notice I said a way. When you read it in the King James Version, you read it and you'll find it says that she said that these are the men of God that show us the way. But if you read it in the Greek and you really study it and you take that Greek word, you'll find out she said a way. A way to salvation, a way to God, basically. And it's the same thing that we hear today. It's no different, that there are other ways to God. And so we can all, we can include every religion in every way when we understand and we really know that Jesus is the only way. Amen. Amen. And so Paul got annoyed because she was trying to keep validation of herself, and she could not deny the fact that they were true men of God that had come into the city to give the people a word to show them the way to salvation and how to get to God. Amen. And so she could not deny that truth. So she had to try to attach herself to it by saying, you know, these men are the men of God that show you a way to God. And so Paul got annoyed and said, no, it's not a way. It is the way. Now, devil, you come out of her. So when he got annoyed, and sometimes we ought to get annoyed. We ought to be annoyed at what the devil try to bring in our life. We ought to be annoyed at the words that he speak to our family. Amen. We ought to be annoyed at that. And Paul said, devil, come out. He cast out devils. And you know, the Bible said that if you believe in Jesus Christ, he said that in my name, that you should be able to cast out what? Devils. But here, this church we got today in the 21st century, we run from the devil. Amen. We don't look at trying to cast out the devil. We try to, you know, medicate the devil and send the devil away and jail the devil or whatever. Amen. We don't want to deal with the enemy, the devil. Amen. And so here it is. Paul casts her out. The people get angry with Paul because now they can't get no more predictions. They don't know what lottery numbers to go and get. They don't know, you know, they can't get no predictions. So they're angry with Paul. And they said, you need to bring this spirit back. And Paul said, no, Jesus told me how to cast them out, but he didn't tell me how to bring them back. And so they take him and put him in jail. I'm just trying to see if y'all were here, y'all playing the mannequin challenge with me. Y'all playing the mannequin challenge, y'all just sitting there. So Paul cast them out. They take Paul and Silas, and they are so angry that they beat them. They strip their clothes off of them, and they whip them. They whip them, and they put them in jail. Now, here's where I'm at now, all right? Just wanted to give you a background of the story. So they begin, he says in verse number 22, he says, the multitude rose up together against them and all the magistrates. Now, this was the entire city. This was the mayor. This was the councilmen. This were the people of the city. They you know, people came from all over just to get them a psychic word from these people. And so they said, now you messed up our money. Mm-hmm. You messed up our money. And they begin to rent. Now, you start messing with somebody's money, you want to fight. You start messing with their money, they're going to fight you. They're going to do whatever they got to do to get at you because you just messed up their money, especially when they ain't got to do nothing to get it. Oh, Lord. They didn't have to do nothing. They were just raking it in. So they were mad with Paul and Silas, and it says that he took their clothes and rent off their clothes. Sometimes when the enemy get mad with you, he wants to strip you of whatever you have. When you're effective against the work of the enemy, he wants to strip you down. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, we thought that it was people that was trying to do this, but it's the enemy working through people that wants to strip us of our goods. Oh, come on and say amen. And so he says that they rent the clothes off and they beat them. Sometimes you may have to take a beating for Christ's sake. I'm trying to tell you the truth here. I know the preacher told you that you don't never have to go through nothing. I know he told you that you'll never experience no wrong once you come to Christ. But let me tell you that when you do come to Christ and you're working for him and you're witnessing for him and you're worshiping him, don't you know that the enemy will try to strip you down and beat you down? Oh, come on and say amen. Here it is. They were doing the work. That's the first point I want to make. They were doing the work that God sent them to do. They were in the will of God and working for God, and yet they still experienced some tribulation. Yet they still experienced circumstances that were not favorable to them. And sometimes we make the sad mistake of thinking just because we work for God that God is not going to allow something to happen in our life. Don't you know that Paul and Silas were only doing what God told them to do? They only went where God told them to go, and they only talked to the people that God told them to talk to. But yet while they were working for God, there was something that happened that made people not like them. I don't know about you, but I found that out personally myself, that sometimes when you work for God, that you don't have to do anything but do God's work, and people will not like you for the simple fact that you're working for the Lord. Lord, have mercy in here. I wish I had a few witnesses with me that could say, I've been doing what I can for people, and people I done tried to help, they just turn their back on me and they talk about me. They don't like, I don't know why they don't like me, but all I did was ever do good to them, and then they still don't like me because of the work. It's because of the work, because God has given you work to do, that the enemy will not let you rest in your work. I know you thought that, oh, I've done it long enough that it ought to be that I don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. But no, the enemy wants you to keep on your toes, and God does too. And so we would get lazy. We would get laid back in our work if the enemy didn't come and try to mess us up in the work. Amen. But we thank God that now that even in the work that we still have a witness. Look at their witness. Their witness is that when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging them, the jailer, to keep them safely. After he received the charge, he took them, thrust them in a prison, and he put them feet fast in the stocks. Now, when we look at their witness caused them to be treated really bad, but it caused them some trauma. Amen? It caused them some trauma and some discomfort, and they were cast into the inner prison without care. The word cast in means that they threw them without care. They just threw them in jail. Didn't care what was going to happen to them. They just threw them in jail. What we have to understand sometimes is that our witness will cause us some traumatic situations. It will cause us some pain sometimes. It will cause us some struggle sometimes. But we have to believe and know that my witness is what God is wanting me to do. See, there are three things that we're going to talk about, and I'll give them to you. We're talking about the work that God called us to, the witness, and the worship. Now, what we got to understand is that that's what God created us for. He created us for the work. Amen. When he created Adam, he said, Adam, I want you to till the ground, and I want you to dress it. He didn't say, Adam, I want you to lay up under the tree and don't do nothing. Adam, I want you to watch Lifetime and don't do nothing. No, he said, Adam, I want you to work, till the ground. And that's what God created us for, the work. And then Adam was a witness. He made him in his likeness and in his image, so that when they saw Adam, they could see God in Adam. Amen. And then not only that, but he said, Adam, I want you to know how to worship me, commune with me, come in together with me in a time, in a certain place. And so Adam knew how to worship God so much that he taught it to his children, and now we are still worshiping God. Amen. And so he says they're witness. It brought trauma because they beat them, not just little, you know, they didn't just beat them with a belt and say, oh, you did bad. They didn't just hit them a little bit, but they beat them until they saw blood. They beat them until their backs were busted open, amen, and blood began to gush out, amen. They beat them until they were sore. They beat them until they were in pain. They beat them until they couldn't hardly move, amen. And so they stripped their clothes off of them and they beat them to the point that they could hardly move, put them in the prison. And look at this. He said, now, he said they beat them and throw them in prison, but their testimony took, that when they took that beating, they believed that God was right there with them. You got to understand the early church that believed that whenever they suffered for God, that it was something of a reward. It was something of a blessing to be able to be able to suffer for Christ's sake. And here we are. We think that when we suffer for Christ's sake, that it's a shame. We won't even testify when we suffer. We got to understand that sometimes we got to see that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. That even though I'm suffering now, I'm going to let you know what I'm dealing with now, so that when God brings me out of it, I have a powerful testimony to let you know that, remember, I was down and out, but Jesus came and lifted me. Oh yeah, he brought me out of this horrible pit, took my feet up out of the muck and miry clay, took me out of the mire, put me in the choir. Do I have any witnesses in here? Oh, that's what we got to understand here. He said that he took them and he beat them and he put them in jail. They were put in jail. They were set up. They were in a place now that God had put them in, a place where they can have a miracle happen in their life. I don't know about you, but anytime you get in a situation, you need to say, this is my opportunity for a miracle. This is my chance for God to bring me out. This is my chance for God to snatch me out of this and let people see who he really is. It's not all about me, but it's about God. I live, move, and have my being in him, because when I go through something, it's not just because I've done something. No, it's because God want to prove himself strong. He want the people that's watching my life. You know, you got some watchers, don't you? You know what? You got people that just looking, they gazing to see how you gonna react, what you gonna do. You got some people just waiting on you. And so God said, let me show them through you what all I can do. God has shown that if you ever get sick and they say, oh, she go to church, but look at her sick now. Oh, God will raise you up out of that sickness, and all people can say, you know what? God did do that. Oh yeah, when you're broke and you don't know how your money, how your bills are gonna get paid, you need to know that God is able to help you get them paid. You didn't lose nothing. You still got your car, you still got your house, but you may not have all the money you want to have, but God didn't let you lose a thing, because he wanted to show you that he can sustain you no matter what the enemy brings in your life. Oh, come on and say amen here. When your children act a fool, oh, all that church and she do, and look at her children out there in the street. Oh, come on and say amen. But God let them turn around one day and come in the church and make Jesus their savior. I wish I had somebody in here that understood what I'm talking about. God will not let you be mocked. The Bible tells us that we have tribulation, and with tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. All I'm saying is that God will not disappoint you if you can trust in him. Will you work and will you be a witness? Look at this. He says that they received him in an inner prison. They were in lockdown. They were in lockdown. They were in the inner part of the prison. This is not a good place to be. This is the place where all of the stuff above you and all of the stuff around you come together. What I mean is, this is where all the sewer pipes came to an end. This is where all the rats were. This was the worst place to be, in a prison. They took them and they threw them into the inner prison. And verse 25, look at this. And I'm here now. It says, now we talked about the work. We talked about their witness, but look at their worship. Verse 25 says, and at midnight. See, we got to get to a place sometime that it's midnight in our life. Because as long as we see daylight, we don't praise him. As long as we see daylight, we will not worship like we should. As long as things are clear to us and we can see our way, we will not give God the praise. I wish I had somebody. But at midnight, when it was midnight, and you know, they say that midnight, the hour of midnight is the darkest hour right before what? Daylight. And so Paul said, let me wait till the darkest time in my life. Let me wait till the darkest opportunity and let me lift up God, because he is the light of my salvation. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, let me lift him up, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come on and say amen. Paul said at midnight, Silas and Paul, they begin to pray and sing praises unto God. Paul and Silas decided that we're not going to take this sitting down. Paul and Silas decided that even though we've been beat up pretty bad, glad we still can open up our mouth and give God some praise. I wish I had somebody. Anybody in here been beat up pretty bad by the devil? You've been beat up in your emotions. You've been beat up physically in your body. You've been beat up mentally in your mind. But you decided that, you know what? I may be a wreck today, but I can still open up my mouth and I can still give God some praise up in the house of God. Do I have anybody that said that I'm going to be like Paul and Silas in the middle of the night? Do you know that God does his work, his best work at night? Do you know that God does his best work at midnight? The Bible says that when he looked into darkness and what nothing, it was night. He said that let there be light, and there was light. And then after that, everything fell in place. I wish I had somebody here. Do you know that it was at midnight that when he told the children of Israel that they need to get up and they need to leave Egypt, and they walked out of Egypt when they were there 400 years and they had become slaves in Egypt, but he walked them out of Egypt in the middle of the night. Do I have anybody here? We need to know that God does his best work sometime in the midnight. They tell me that sometime weeping may endure for a night, but I understand that joy comes in the morning. So all I'm trying to encourage you to know is that when it seems dark in your life, don't you worry, because God can work in midnight. God can work when it's nighttime in your life. God can work when you can't see your way, when there ain't no stars shining, there ain't no moon. I wish I had somebody. When you got storms in your life, do you know that God will work it out for you? But what would you do in your midnight? Will you cry in your midnight? Because that's when we wake up in the middle of the night and we cry. Will you get up? Will you get up and just complain in the middle of the night? But we gotta understand what Paul and Silas did. They said that we're in this situation. It ain't no need in us complaining about how bad it is. We knew what we signed up for. We knew that when we decided to work for God, that we had to be strong witnesses for Him, and that we couldn't let nothing stop our witness. I want you to know that you can't let anything stop your witness. I don't care what people say about you. Don't stop witnesses. I don't care what people do to you, don't you stop witnessing. I don't care what happens, your work and your witness is far more important than what they got to say. I wish I had somebody here. If they put you on topics, you go on there and say, I'm still a witness. Come on and say amen here. If they put you on Facebook talking about you like a dog, you just get on there and say, that's okay. I'm still a witness. I'm a witness of his grace, because I may not be perfect, but I'm still here to let you know that God is still God and that he still sits on the... I wish I had somebody in here. I'm gonna stop preaching in a minute and just talk. Amen. But he says that they at midnight they begin to sing and pray. I like this, because what this entails is that they started a worship service right there in the middle of the jail. Not only in the middle of the jail, but in the middle of the pain that they were feeling. In the middle of the prison, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of their predicament that they were in, do you know that they decided that it ain't nothing else for us to do but worship God? We got to get to that place sometime in our life when we realize that ain't nothing you can do about it after you done cried and cried and cried. Ain't nothing you can do to change it. The only thing that we can do is begin to pray and sing praises unto God. Do I have anybody here? Have you ever been to the place where you know, I just can't do nothing about this? I can't make nothing better than what it is. I can't change the situation. So the least I can do is just stop doing this and begin to praise God and give him a... Come on and say amen. When I pray to God, when you pray, you need to know that all I'm doing is communing with him. All I'm doing is talking to him. God, I'm not telling you what, I'm not giving you a grocery list of what I want, but I'm talking to you about this situation because I know that you already know about it. You know, the Bible tells us that when we pray, we need to pray and have faith in God. Whenever we ask something, we need to ask it in Jesus' name. That's what he said, and you'll have what you say. He tells us that man ought to always pray and not to faint. Many of us in the prisons of our own selves, and we get to fainting, but God is saying for us not to faint. He tells us that we don't even know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit of God make it intercession according to the will of... Do I have anybody in here? Come on, help me out. Oh yeah, the Bible tells us that when we pray, God hears us. Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus and he said it like this. He said, Father, I'm glad that you already heard me when I got here, you already knew what I'm going to say. But for sake of the ones that's standing around me, I'm going to repeat it because you're already going to do it. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, you're already going to do it, but I'm just going to open my mouth and repeat it so that they can hear it and watch you move. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I knew God was going to do it already. I just said it so you can hear it. I knew God was going to heal me, but I just prayed, Lord, heal me so that you can hear it. I knew God was going to deliver, but I said, God, deliver just so that you can hear it because I need your faith to be built up too. Come on and shout amen in here. Glory to God. Say it at midnight. We got some verses to go, y'all. At midnight, they sang, prayed, and they sang praises unto God. And notice this, he said, and the prisoners heard them. They let the prisoners hear. Now you got to understand, the jailer, that was his house. That was his house. So not only did the prisoners hear, but the jailer, he heard them too. And his house. Now imagine this. Nobody don't want to get up out the bed, go down in the basement, and tell them to be quiet. You know how you sit across the house, you yell at your children to be quiet, but they don't hear you. Why don't they hear you? Because they making more noise than you. You can't even hear the TV over them. And here, Paul and Silas was the same way. They began to make so much noise, the prisoners heard them. They decided that we're not ashamed of our God. They decided that we're not ashamed to lift him up in the middle of a predicament that we can't get ourselves out of. You can't get yourself out of it. You might as well praise him through it. Amen. You can't get yourself out of it. You might as well just say, thank you, Lord. You know, and the Bible tells us how to pray. The Bible tells us that we need to make our requests be made known through what? Thanksgiving. So can you imagine Paul and Silas in the jail saying, Lord, I thank you that I was beaten. Lord, I thank you that you gave me power to cast that devil out of her. Lord, I thank you that you allowed me to be in this prison because it got some unsaved folks that need to know who you are. Oh, come on and say amen here. You see, God looks at people so important that he let us go through so that they can be saved. I wish I had somebody. Oh, so he says, here it is. He says that at midnight they sang and they praised and the prisoners heard them. And then suddenly, look at the power of their worship. Look at what happened. The Bible says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Do you know that your worship can shake some things up? Your worship can change the atmosphere. Your worship can move in a way that it will shake up and break down something. I wish I had somebody. It said that the foundation, do you know that here they was making this noise and all of a sudden the ground starting to tremble, the things start to move. I wish I had somebody. When you see what happened, when you can imagine in your mind that all they were doing was praying and praising and the prisoners heard them so that they would see the work of God after the worship. Come on and say amen. Do I have any after effects of worship in the house? Do you know what happens after we worship him? Do you know that after we worship him, some things move in our life? After we worship him, some things are broken in our life? After we worship him, some doors are open? Y'all don't hear me in here. After we worship him, these are the effects of the aftershock of worship. Lord have mercy. Preaching better than y'all saying amen in here. The aftershock of worship was that the earth, when it quaked, the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. We got to see something here, that if you want a door open, you need to worship God. Oh, come on and say amen here. If you want a chain broken, you need to worship God. Do I have anybody to say that I had some doors shut in my life, but I need that? You go right up to that door and you just start lifting your hands. Say, Lord, I thank you for opening this door. This door don't have any power over me. This door can't keep me out because, God, you said you're everywhere. And in order for you to be in there, I got to go through this door. I wish I had somebody here. We need to get to a place that we can walk up to a door and the door open for us because we are worshipers. Because I'm a worshiper, I can walk up to a door. Do you know there are some spiritual doors that need to be opened in your life? And the only way that they are opened up is when you begin to worship God. I need you to open up this door spiritually, God. But God is saying, oh, where's your worship? That's the key to open up the door. I wish I had somebody. Oh, some of us have been bound up in so many different ways. We have been bound in sickness, bound in the opinion of others, bound up in ourselves, bound up in low self-esteem. But do you know today that your chains can be broken?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana,